And welcome to The Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
Taylor Barrett.
Hi, kind of almost Halloween. Hey.
Hey, and our returning host, guest host this week is Amanda Lindeal. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. So we're going to do a real quick disclaimer. This is for entertainment purposes only. We work in the field of mental health, but don't claim to be professionals in this space. Our intention is to have conversations around lived experience. As a result, we may not always agree with everything, especially Amanda, that our guests say, but we do intend to hold space for open conversation and learning from one another. Let's get it started.
Beat me to it.
I agree with everything Amanda says.
That's true.
Nice.
Yeah. This is the one episode where we stand by what she says.
Uh-oh. You better come correct. Or not.
Yeah, it's fine.
We'll see what happens.
So, this week we actually want to talk a little bit about social media. I mean, there's various parts of it. There's the connection that it provides. There's the divisiveness that it also creates. There's the fear of missing out. There's all sorts of parts of it. But when you think about social media and its relation to mental health, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I think it's definitely like easy to get trapped in it. It's very distracting. And sometimes you need that, you know, when you're not having a good mental health day, you just kind of zone out and you scroll or watch stuff, and that can be entertaining. But then that pattern can be very dangerous, because I've had times where like, oh, I'm glad I just farted around on my phone today. I kind of needed to like unplug while also being very plugged in, but then I'll have like times where it just becomes this habit of like, I need to do something, but I'll check my phone and then 2 hours go by and I'm like, whoa, I did not do anything I was supposed to be doing today. So it can be like a little black hole you can fall into going down the rabbit hole of social media. So I think it's definitely has, you know, pros and cons. But I noticed if I'm scrolling on social media and things are entertaining, making me laugh, I'm like commenting on people's reels, posts, whatever, and it's enjoyable, I'm like, okay, this is good. But if I'm on there and I just start getting mad, I need to stop. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, but if I start to feel some rage, put the phone down.
No, I think that's
spiraling in a bad way.
I think that's a good way to like think about it, is just like, are my interactions while I'm doing this positive, you know, because it's just like, yes, if you are looking at everybody else's life and being like, look at all the things they're doing and all the things I'm not, then it's like, it can be this very negative experience. But I think that if you can, I think that if you can like very willingly search for the stuff that's going to make you feel better, if you're using it to be social, you know, like you're commenting on things, people are, you know, responding back, I think that it's definitely more positive. Taylor, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
The kind of culture of like self-image and like assuming that somebody else's like what they're posting is an accurate representation of themselves. That was like a really weird trap that I fell into for a long time. And I kind of just like really backed out of social media lately. Like I'll share like events that I'm going to and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm not really doing much on social media.
Right.
And I think part of that is because I really had to let go of the idea that I wanted to make myself look a certain way on social media, or I wanted to like represent myself in a way that I thought people would think is like cool or some shit.
And sure.
That it was a really uncomfortable moment, week or whatever, where I kind of like, I was really questioning why I was doing that and why I was like unhappy about that, because it wasn't really necessarily about the results. It was just like the desperation kind of to make myself look a certain way and to like keep up with how cool everybody else looked. And after that, like that weird spike in discomfort, I just kind of backed away from it, and it felt a lot better to just kind of like Amanda said, I'll, you know, scroll on it for a little while, or like watch videos on how people are doing something that I want to do to like learn how to do it. But when it comes to like image and representation and assuming that other people's is even slightly accurate, I really had to like drop that perspective that I had, or that like that desperation to understand and participate in it even.
I think that like the whole self-image part of it, you know, because it's just like, I've been kind of like off social media. I feel like I posted a lot for a while, and then like I kind of took a break from it without taking a break from it. I guess I can kind of relate to the whole like, I'm not really on this / a part of this, but I'm like still a part of it, and like a real negative way of like checking in on things and being like, these aren't the things I'm doing, while also not celebrating some of the things that like I'm doing. And also even just feeling the need to celebrate it, like, oh, if I didn't make a post, it didn't happen, you know. I have bad memories, so it kind of didn't. Like sometimes I need to read that I had a really good day one day to think that I can have good days again.
Sometimes Facebook memories can be nice for that. I'll be like, wow, I totally would not have remembered that event.
Yes,
and that was so cool.
Yes, definitely.
So sometimes the memories are rough, like I'll get one and I was like, ooh, was fucking that was cringy as hell.
Yeah. I was really going through it.
What was going on 8 years ago, me?
Yeah. What about you, Zoe? What comes to mind?
That's funny because you just said the word that I've been thinking of. I feel cringy. Like, I feel cringy about social media.
There you go.
I'm fully addicted to it like everybody else. But these days, I'm more of just like a creepy voyeur. Like, I just watch other people on there, but I don't post very much. I rarely post anything personal. And then when I do, I like almost always regret it, even if I leave it up. I don't know. I think I got sort of like turned off by feeling so exposed. Yeah. And I think, well, because I'll watch other people's stuff and sometimes I'll feel like, even if it's sometimes something positive, I'm kind of just like, yeah, like it, like you said earlier, like we were talking about it, like it becomes a diary for some people.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes people overshare. And so I think that can be really cringy. I think also, like, I'm a big fan of in-person connection. And I think it's probably my age too, because I didn't grow up with like Facebook.
I'm a fan of in-person connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in my day.
We used to talk to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Walk around the old stick ball.
All right. Again, I'm the oldest one here. Okay. But yes. Yeah. But I think, and I think also just because, like, I think I'm also an extroverted introvert. So I think that's also why for me, because like I'm extroverted in person, but the idea of being extroverted in a way where like I don't know who's looking at all of it makes me feel really weird.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest, as far as mental health goes, I think the biggest thing kind of really relates to what you said about people comparing yourself to other people, you know, like
that's when
it used to really be a bad thing for me. Like when I used to be really into diet culture there, and even now just like it creeps in, like I don't do that shit at all anymore, but it still creeps in, the people like who are posting about their weight loss or like what they ate or whatever. And I just used to spend so much time comparing myself to other people that and I realized like it was like it literally fed my eating disorder, you know? So I think it does do that for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's the part that like, as far as negative mental health goes, but I also think like that there are people that struggle to like, connect with other people for different reasons, like whether like a disability or like really bad anxiety or whatever, like don't have any money to go out and do stuff, like whatever it is. And so I think it also connects people. And I also think it connects people with experiences where like, say you live in a small town and you're like, you know, you have an identity that like is not common where you're from, and you can connect with people who make you feel seen. And you know, and I think in that way it can be really good too. So yeah, basically it's super double-sided from my opinion.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Like some of my closest friends I've like never met in person.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
They're just like friends of friends
that's
of friends.
Fucked.
And then shut up. It's just like friends of friends of friends that I like played a video game with one time. They're like, oh yeah, like let's keep playing, or like let's add each other. Let's like join a Discord together. And then I just end up playing with them like every other day. And they're some of my closest friends now. And it's really cool to like have that potential to connect without needing to be in person. Mm-hmm. But I definitely do agree with you that like connecting in person feels a little bit different and a little more genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I also wanted to ask, like, when you are comparing yourself to people, like specifically around the sentiment around like diet culture, do you feel yourself like getting like angry at them, like, well, fuck you, now I have to do this? Or is it like that's how I do this, that's how I make this smoothie? Or is it like an anger at yourself? Or like where's the feelings placed?
I mean, I think back when I was like still in it, it was definitely like, I'm not good enough, like I have to be better, you know what I mean? I'm like, how do I measure up to this person? And now, because I've educated myself, and I think a lot of the time I just feel like this is how people get really sick, or like this person is really sick, you know, like when I watch and someone's like, oh, they're an influencer, they're whatever, and like nobody, but it's like I can tell because I know like certain telltale signs of things,
right?
You know, like if you count every single thing that you eat, that's an eating disorder.
It
doesn't matter what your body looks like, if you are obsessed with what you're eating all day long, that's an eating disorder. So I think I think for me it's like now I have this understanding of like what's really happening, and then it really bums me out because I know what it looks like to the average person who doesn't have that information or that education. So I think just realizing like how harmful it is, I think so. But for me, I think it helps me realize that like I have come pretty far, even though I still feel like, you know, like, oh, I wish I was that size again, or oh, I wish I was doing that or whatever. I still also feel very much like most of these people that are doing this religiously on there are not help, like it's some sort of a disorder.
Yeah, it's a like a fixation, you know, like anything that's taking up that much of your time and that much of your mental space, you know, like that's when it becomes, I don't know, your life becomes less manageable because you're spending so much time.
I think about this a lot, like people who are obsessed with diet and exercise, like do they love themselves or hate themselves? Because it is a fine line.
Are you doing this to take care of yourself or because you think you deserve it?
Yeah, and like, is there ever a point where you're going to feel good about it or not? Because if you're like, this is my goal, I just want to like feel better and have more energy and stuff like that, and you reach that and you're like, cool, and it's not about a number on a scale or like counting every calorie you consume, then like, yeah, you're just trying to change your lifestyle a little bit, you know, make healthier choices.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly doing that and you're like at a point where you can be happy, but you're still not, it's like, okay, well then you don't actually love yourself. What's this about? Like you're not good enough. And then like what Zoe said, you can kind of see people who are so obsessed with it and it's like, I'm being healthy. And it's like, no, this is kind of scary. Yeah. You're not okay.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, is that like social media kind of like moves that goalpost for you because you may decide that you've gotten what you thought you desired, right? Yeah. Whether it's weight, whether it's accolades, you think that you got there, but
there's someone else who has more.
There's somebody else who has more. There's somebody thinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All the fucking things. Yep. So I mean, that's a really hard part for me is I don't know. Like I kind of agree with the whole like sentiment on comparison because it's like it's hard not to compare yourself to people, but there's so much context for who you are that you really have to like consider, you know, like you don't know what they don't know what your last fucking 30 days looked like. You don't know what their last 30 days looked like. Like maybe they had extra energy, you know, maybe you didn't have any energy all this fucking month. Mm-hmm. Like you have no context for that one picture. All you see is them on stage or them at the beach or, you know.
Yeah, and there's probably someone who feels the same way about you. Like you're over there comparing yourself to someone and like wishing you had more, and someone is looking at you being like, I wish I had that. So, comparison is the thief of joy. I like that quote a lot. And I think about that on social media. That's like, if I'm having fun, then it's good. But as soon as I start comparing or being like, oh, that person, and I'm like, oh, okay, get off.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I'll put it on airplane mode at home just so I don't look at it for a little bit. You know, I don't get alerts.
One of the things that like, It helped me separate from this like desire to compare was like there was just like a few people that they were like always going to like shows. They were like traveling. They were just like doing all this cool shit. They had all this cool shit. They lived in this beautiful house. And I found out that they just like weren't working and their parents were paying for everything. And I was and I was like that makes me feel so much better about my struggle because it's my struggle. Yes. And it's not being catered for me. And like that is like a secondary piece of comparison, but it's also like it's because of the initial comparison I made. I was making all these comparisons like they have all this cool shit. They're doing all this cool shit that I want to do. Well, I wish I got to do that. And it's like, oh, they get to do it because they're fucking getting pampered. Yep. You know what I mean? And
zero context.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to like right next to the diet culture, social media shit is like the gym culture, social media shit.
It's connected.
I get a lot of that. And it makes me feel really, really weird because I used to be like really, really skinny, but I didn't realize how unhealthy I was. And now that I'm like gaining weight and getting a little chubby, and like it's hard to like balance both of those feelings of like I am gaining weight and I'm getting a little bit healthier about it, but then seeing all those like ripped gym dudes be like, if you just do this like 2 times a day and then you do this other thing and then you drink this shake, and I'm like, maybe I could try it.
That's
like,
a lot of stuff for just saying if you just do all of this,
you just spend your whole day exercising and preparing food. Mm-hmm. It's a highlight reel though. That's the other thing, is that most people post a highlight reel. So I think the people that do overshare, I appreciate those people that also share the hard stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's
a big reason, part of the reason why I have taken a break from social media is because it's like I have bipolar, right? Which means ups and fucking downs, right? Mm-hmm. One day I'm sharing a fucking win, one day I'm just like fucking, you know. And it's like somebody had kind of just told me, they're just like, hey, like I want to root for you, but watching you self-destruct every fucking 15 minutes is like it's hard to get behind.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I was just like I really appreciated them saying that because it made me think about what I was sharing and how I was sharing it. You know, it's just like, I want to share more wins than losses, but I don't want to ignore that the losses happen. But like a fucking 5-to-1 ratio would be great. You know, taking a loss after fucking 5 wins makes you look human. Taking fucking explaining 10 losses and 1 fucking win makes you annoying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard because totally. People do use it like a diary in that way. And I think that we should probably bring back paper diaries because I'm like, that's an inside thought.
Yeah.
Or like I've definitely done this before. Like, you know, I'll be mad about something or maybe a little drunk or stoned or I can't sleep. My mind is racing or something pissed me off. And I'll write this Facebook novel. And then what I do is I save it to my drafts.
Good.
And I go to bed and I wake up. And if I'm still like, share it, I will.
Yeah.
Or I'll be like, ugh, that's a diary entry.
Yeah. That's
dope.
And
I think people should use that button a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Save in drafts.
That's a good tip.
Give
it
some time.
Yeah.
Or use the notepad on your phone.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, I think social media is like a really powerful tool. It's just we have to manage ourselves while trying to manage use of it. So
yeah.
Awesome. Cool. We're gonna take a real quick commercial break and we'll be right back with the smoke break.
Not a commercial.
And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
That's me. Hi.
Taylor Barrett.
Hi.
And Amanda Lindy.
What's it?
All right. So during the last section, we were talking a little bit about at the end, just, you know, maybe using social media as a diary. And I feel like oftentimes when people use it as a diary, it's because they're not being direct.
Yes. Mm.
It's real easy to just make a vague post and be like, hey, I have this problem with one person.
Or not so vague.
Yeah, they're not usually vague.
It's funny when you know, like, nobody else gets this except for the person you're talking to, so you probably should have just told them.
Yeah.
Because now they're mad you told everybody else, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, like, I have this problem with, like, with people being indirect, you know, because it's just like, if I owe you $10 and you tell him that I owe you $10, the best he can do is say, that person owes you $10. But if you tell me, I can give you your fucking money back, dude. What are you doing? Like, why are you just...
You can tell everyone, do not give Zane 10 bucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's
or
just,
you can be like, you owe me 10 bucks.
I give you 10 bucks, now I can fucking be a personal bank for everybody. You know, we could really fix some problems here. But I think like being direct, and it's a skill because oftentimes people think they're being direct when they're being assholes.
Well, and in Portland, you know, the whole passive aggressive thing.
Yeah.
That was something like in Chicago, people were dicks sometimes, but at least I knew what was going on.
Yes. Yeah. Fucking love it.
So I think people think that like being direct is so scary that they'd rather like vague post or talk to other people about it. But you're not only like harming that person further by not being direct with them, but you're also just like, it's making you a bad human. Like it rots your soul. And if you hold that in and don't be direct with people, it's awful. You see people who are constantly just like talking shit about other people. Yeah. And it's like, bro, have you ever talked to this person?
Yeah.
Not since that one time. It's like, well, then you're obsessed with them though.
You're like, the problem.
You need to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think like with the directness, it's like it gives people a fucking opportunity to like to know what they've done wrong and to fucking do better. You know, like because like I can't think of how many times I didn't realize that I had fucking done something harmful only to find out way too late that I had done something harmful instead of in that moment. And it's just like all this resentments build up, all this and you know what I mean? There's if you were to just be like, hey, this really bothered me, I'd be like, oh, holy shit, I'm sorry. Like, let me do anything I can to fix it. But like once it's blown up into this whole thing, now there's like there's just so many moving parts.
It's the perfect way to actually test someone's character if you're direct with them, because how they react is who they are.
Yeah.
So if you never address them, then like not only is that harmful, but you don't actually know if this person meant to be a dick or not.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, I don't appreciate that, they can either be like, oh, I didn't mean it that way, I'm so sorry, like I'll be more careful, like we'll need to fix it. Or they can be like, well, fuck you. And you're like, well, fuck
now
you.
Now you blow them
now
up on social media.
Now you both hate each other. And there you go.
Then you tag them.
Mutual enemies.
Fuck them.
We're mutual friends, mutual enemies.
Absolutely.
Both hate each other.
Both
hell
hate
yeah.
each other.
Not just one.
This is a one-sided.
One-sided enemies.
I had a conversation with a friend one time that I've been friends with like since high school, and we were still close. Like we were on a trip together, and it was like an emergency trip. Like her brother had gone to prison, and we had to go and like get all of his shit and like try to deal with his life. And he'd been going through some rough stuff, so it was like kind of a journey.
Yeah.
And we were in a hotel one night, and somehow something came up from like one of the things that we had never talked about in our friendship. You know, we'd done some like dumb stuff, like, you know, hooked up with the same boys or had the same crush on the same dude in high school or whatever. Just things had built up, you know, like we've known each other for like 25 years. And finally we had the conversation and we were both like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't realize, or like I was fucked up at that point in my life. And you're right, that was fucked up. Or like, and it was just so healing.
Yeah.
And it was like amazing because we were already still like great friends, but there was just this unsaid shit that we hadn't said. And once we said it, it was like, we felt so much closer and so much better and like so able to just say sorry, you know, and like, and move forward. And we didn't realize how we'd hurt each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think that's my perfect example of our experience with being direct with someone after avoiding for a long time and then it bringing us closer together and like making us feel even more solid in our friendship. So that was like a really positive experience for me. Direct.
I think it is such a fucking skill, but it's like it's something you kind of build up over time. You know, sometimes it takes little bits of honesty to be like, okay, I can be honest about bigger stuff. You know, it's because honesty is such a fucking scary thing.
Yeah.
Like it really is, because it's just like I'm going to open up to you and you can either use this to better understand me or to fucking use it as ammunition.
Yeah.
And that is like, that's what makes, you know, approaching somebody and being like, hey, this really upset me. They can say like, well, I didn't mean to upset you, so you're fucked for even being bothered by it. And it's like, okay, well, like this was the reaction I was afraid of.
Yeah.
I was going to say it is kind of a leap of faith towards the other person.
Because
like, especially with people that have, A, struggle to be honest, or B, the times that they have been honest, it's been really like spit back in their face.
It
creates this like stigma around being honest and around being direct, and that can quickly turn into like self-loathing or just like maybe I shouldn't say anything to anybody, or the fucking weird semi-vague Facebook posts and, yeah. and shit talking, you know, and like it's still worth trying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the very least, you got what you were saying out. You gave the other person an opportunity to like respond to it appropriately. And if they don't, it just takes I don't want to say just because it's not an easy thing, but it takes like a little bit of resilience and like knowledge of your self-worth to be okay with them not handling it appropriately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like it's the confusing part for me is like we're such a you know, like this like a the culture here is basically like, oh man, fucking honesty is the best policy. It's like, that's what a fucking cop would say. You know what I mean? like, are we
just tell us the truth and then we'll get you in more trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like honesty almost seems like more punitive. And I think that's why people have a harder time even admitting when they're wrong. Like, let's say I'm direct and I'm just like, hey, this really, you know, really hurt. Like you could be afraid to be direct and honest because you've had the interaction of like, well, when I was honest about messing up, people fucking threw that in my face.
Yeah, that's true too. I think that's like, I've confronted people and their response was either to deny it or to just kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important if you're going to be direct with someone to not be a dick because that's why people are scared.
Yeah.
So if you're just like, hey, this really upset me. I'd like to talk to you about it. Like,
yeah.
I'm not mad with you, but this did bother me and I would like us to be able to fix this because I've had people just basically like cower. And then it's like, I'm a safe person to talk to. Like, I'm not mad at you. I'm going to be if we don't talk about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm not mad now, but boy, will I if we don't ever talk about this.
Well, and I think I'm glad you brought that up. I had this experience recently where somebody had sent me a meme. It was like a coworker, and I thought that we were pretty don't look at my eyebrow. It got messed up.
Oh my God.
Not this episode.
Just tilt your head that way.
I was trying to be direct.
Yeah.
We're naming this episode Zane's Eyebrows.
Brow.
Yeah,
the other one's fine.
Singular.
Yeah.
The other one is fine.
I paid for one and got the other one half off. Okay. Anyways, I was talking to this person and they'd sent me a Facebook meme and it was basically just like, Bugs Bunny needs to take themselves out of the you know, those situations. They're just antagonizing it. And like, I just gotten this like feeling that they were trying to like tell me like fuck off or just like, you know, you're Bugs Bunny and you need to, I'm fucking crazy. You know, when somebody sends you a meme and then you think that you're a cartoon rabbit and you're like, what's up, dog? I thought we were cool.
What the fuck's up, dog?
The fuck's up?
You just feel that way when you get memes, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So when you're a cartoon, But
when I was a cartoon rabbit,
can you relate? I love logic. But anyways, so she had sent me this message and then like I got a promotion recently, right? Yeah. Got a fucking promotion, super excited about it.
Congratulations.
And she gave me like flowers and a card like 2 days later and was just like, hey, I think everything that you're doing is super fucking cool. Like you're all these things to the agency. You mean so much. And it was like, I had this fucking thing where I was like, but which one, you know? And I finally, like, I just sent her a message and, like, she had sent me, like, a couple memes and that I just didn't respond to because I was so fucking hung up on that first one.
Bugs Bunny meme.
Yeah. On the Bugs. I was like, you think I'm a cartoon rabbit? And I'm fucking not. I'm doing my best. And so I sent her this message and I was just like, hey, just to be transparent, like this, you know, I interpreted it this way and I'm trying to tell myself a different story.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's really a good way to bring it up, too. Yeah. It's just like, I'm telling myself this. I'm trying to tell myself a different story. Like, gives them the benefit of the doubt that they're not doing it.
This is what I've been thinking the whole time is you have to give people the benefit of the doubt when you confront them. Because if you confront them with the assumption that they did it on purpose or that they know how it impacted you, then they're going to get defensive.
Yeah. And they're shut down because it feels like you can't change their mind. If someone is like, you said this and you meant this and you did this and this is the aftermath.
And they're not going to cop to it probably either.
Yeah.
If they feel that they're admitting to something they didn't intend to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, you're like approaching it with an argument already happening.
Yes.
You're not like, hey, is this what happened? Can we talk about this? It's like, you did this. Fuck you. We're doing this now.
Yeah.
That's a very like antagonistic approach.
Yeah. No one wants to respond to that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Especially a cartoon rabbit. Yeah.
You're fucking telling me.
No.
I'm just. Oh my God. I think directness is so it's so important, but it's like it's weird that like we ask for it and then we punish it and then like we ask why people are afraid to do it then, you know, just like, well, why didn't they just apologize? Why didn't they just say that they messed up? And it's just like, do you see what happened to the last person?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's such a it's such a thing, but it's like, I feel like so much fucking healing can happen, you know? Like, there are people who I wasn't super fucking tight with that, like, I am more tight with because I've been honest.
Yeah.
Because I've been direct. Because yeah. I've been like, hey, like, this felt bad. This felt bad. Mm-hmm. And, like, I want to continue a friendship, you know? And I think it's a tool to preserve relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Something I just thought of is, like, I think for me, when somebody assumes my intent,
mm-hmm.
then it's like, I feel misrepresented. You know what I mean? Like, I feel yeah. like you've assumed my character mm-hmm. where I feel like if you come to someone and you say, hey, these like you give the benefit of the, you let them know what the impact was, assuming that they probably didn't know that that was yeah. the impact yeah. or that there's a potential that they didn't realize.
Yeah.
And then that way they give you the opportunity to take accountability for the impact, but then also say your piece, like, oh my God, I totally realize why it came across that way,
yeah.
but I want you to know that I don't feel that way about you, or I didn't mean for to make you feel that way, but I am totally okay with apologizing because I hear you. Like, that's how it yeah. felt for you. And now there's no like assuming things about each other. It's just like, I need to be more thoughtful with my words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think of myself as a kind like person, but I absolutely run my mouth and I absolutely say things without thinking. I actually have a brain that does that. I have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks when someone doesn't give me the benefit of the doubt
yeah.
because
yeah.
I often will say things and they'll come out not the way I meant them to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I really feel like, yeah, it just sucks. And then it makes you shut down and like not want to engage with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like what you were talking about earlier, like the mm-hmm. shutting down or getting defensive. Like
yeah.
if we come at people in a direct but like not gentle or kind way, and not a way that's just like, hey, I need to talk about this, but I also need to consider how, you know, this might impact you. You mm-hmm. know, like if we don't approach it from that way, like we can end up causing some of the harm that we're trying to address, mm-hmm. you know, where
yeah.
it's just like, you did this thing that hurt me. And it's like, well, you kind of did something that hurt me, but I feel like I can't even bring it up because
yeah.
you know, so it's,
you were hurt, so then you lashed out at me. Like, how are we supposed to move forward? Because now yeah. you're mad. Like, is there
yeah,
any
and now I'm mad that
redemption?
You lashed out. Yeah,
or do
yeah.
you just want to yell at me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
If our problem solving is just a continuous cycle of us like being worse to each other,
yeah.
then, like there's no progress. There's no like undoing any of that.
Yeah,
the world's fucked.
Yeah, like, every instance of like potential accountability gets like just smothered by like anger or
yeah.
or retaliation.
Yeah. Well,
something you just said made me think about, like, if you don't be direct with people, then when someone does have something to confront with you about, you often do go right to the thing that you haven't confronted them about.
Mm.
And so it's really hard to take accountability when you're like, well, I didn't fucking call you out on this shit. And
yeah.
it's like, well, whose problem is that? Like,
yeah.
you can't
yeah.
throw that. I'm being direct. And now yeah. you're going to be direct because you're defensive. Like, and we all do that. Like,
yeah,
like, everybody does that.
I really like that you brought that up. I really like that yeah. you brought that up.
That's really important.
Either I've done it or I've seen it happen
yeah.
where it's just like, and then the, like, you know, like something that Taylor often says is just like, you know, now that we're talking about your problem, like we're not even talking about the
yeah.
first thing that I brought up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now I have to solve your thing. And then we never even make it back to this one.
Yeah.
And I don't feel heard. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it happens yeah. in like relationships where
oh,
it's like,
God.
You never do the dishes. Well, yeah. you never do the laundry.
Yep.
It's like, okay,
boom, boom,
so
boom.
We're both just mad at each other, but
yeah.
are we going to like,
sounds like the dishes and the laundry aren't done.
Yeah. Should we switch chores since clearly you care so fucking much about laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
personal.
Not an appropriate way to talk,
personal.
But
it is quite direct, though.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. Then I'll do the goddamn dishes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
Cool. Go fuck off with your underwear and socks
yeah.
over there.
I used to have a joke about
fuck
how I was
my pajamas.
I used to have a joke about I was mad at my ex-boyfriend for not squeezing out the sponge when he was done doing the dishes.
Yeah,
and it's like
that's
so
gross.
Specific. And I heard someone like, and I think it was someone who was doing crowd work and I saw like a set and somehow the person in the crowd like basically used that as example for the thing that people get mad. They're like, he's like, oh, they were like, how have you made it last? And he was like, I squeeze out the sponge. And I was like, this guy, I need to marry this guy. like this is one of my biggest.
I'm going to steal your man.
Yeah,
I'm going to steal your man.
I was like, that guy fucking gets
your
it. We all
sponge squeezing, man.
Yeah. Putting the toilet seat down. That's old.
Oh,
that's
man.
Old school. You should be doing that by now. You
yeah.
should be sitting down to pee by now.
Are you listening to this?
maybe if we communicated about which chores we loathe,
yeah.
then we could do the other
yeah.
one for
oh my
you.
God, that's
yeah.
I always think about that because I had a roommate that liked doing the dishes and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But do them and then I'll do the thing that you hate. And that,
yeah.
Yeah.
it works out.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. Because there's things that I like more. But I mean, I think that like if you don't communicate those things, that's how resentment builds up.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm always doing this and like, I feel like you're not doing anything. And it's like, I might be doing something, but you see the one thing not being done.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's easy to like register. I'm sorry, I haven't done the dishes. But like,
we've both done the dishes plenty of times.
That's
I'm
true.
Not,
that's
yeah,
true.
We're fine.
You guys
I'm,
are sweet.
We do the dishes
together
together.
One time.
It's pretty cute.
Okay,
it's pretty cute.
Cute.
Yeah,
we're in our we're like handing it off and like,
oh,
yeah. tossing. We're dancing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Hell yeah.
The birds fly in and they start yeah. dancing with us. It's
you
very
wanna,
Disney.
You want to
yeah,
move in with me?
Cute. Yeah. No. I didn't do dishes then either, and I'm very sorry. Sorry to you too. I've lived with all of
you.
You weren't going to do dishes.
It took me to get Zane to do the fucking dishes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
I'm the best girlfriend Zane's ever had.
Yeah, man. killing it.
I'm pretty sure Zane hid in his room, their room the whole time because I was a bitch.
That's still true. You can account.
See?
We'll be back.
We take accountability. We'll be
right. We'll be right back with a smoke break in just a second. And welcome back to the Smoke Break. I'm your host, Joel Pyle Zane, here with Zoe Schwartz.
Hello.
Taylor Barrett.
You're not a real feminist unless you sit down to pee.
Hell yeah.
And a real feminist,
hell
Amanda
yeah.
Lynn Deal.
Yeah. I stand up to pee.
Why not? Why not?
That lines up.
Yeah. You just squat over it and you do
have stand up to pee energy.
Piss on the patriarchy. This is the smoke
and
break.
The toilet seat.
Yeah. You should put that in your bio.
Squat over that bitch. The patriarchy. I mean.
People have described her as stand up to pee energy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That's hilarious. Please use that. So we're going to talk about boundaries. I feel like it's a good time. Oh,
when you're talking about what you do in the bathroom.
First step.
Is not doing that.
So I feel like it's such a weird transition. Boundaries are super important. They're hard to communicate. That's where kind of like direct communication comes into it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, why do you think boundaries are important to communicate?
Ooh. Well, in relation to what we were just talking about, because if you confront someone and you tell them something that you did that hurt them or hurt you, then by also giving them a boundary, then you can help them not do it again in the future. Right.
Yes.
So and then you can hold them accountable for the fact that you set that boundary.
Yeah. Like you've stated what they need to do. You've told them where they need to be. And now it's like measurable.
Yeah. And like to echo that, I completely agree that is the most effective time to like set a boundary is like after a healthy problem solving situation.
Yeah.
I think the issue that a lot of people run into though is that the problem solving situations aren't healthy. They kind of spiral downwards and they just end with people being mad at each other for like a day and then they come back and they're like, okay, we were kind of dicks, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's not be mean to each other. But because there was so much energy and exhaustion put into that situation, the idea of taking that a step further is just like exhausting. Like we just spent all this time and energy just like arguing with each other.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do is add an extra step to this.
Yeah, it's just like, now I'm going to give you one more rule, so this doesn't, you know. Yeah, definitely. Amanda?
Well, everyone's boundaries are different, too, so it's important, and you might not know someone's boundary until you cross it on accident.
Sure.
So I used to be really, like, scared to address things in the moment because I didn't want to come off as a bitch, but then I would hold on to it, and then when I finally exploded, boy, was I a big old bitch. I don't know. There's just gentle ways you can tell people. It doesn't have to be, you know, like angry. But I think if you've expressed a boundary to someone multiple times and they keep forgetting.
Yeah.
People do forget things.
Sure.
But I think there has to be, if you really care about someone, you should know what lines they don't want you to cross.
Yeah.
And you should be aware of that. So, I mean, if someone is constantly forgetting something that you told them like is important to you, I think it's important to reassess that relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's like if somebody's saying that they're forgetting something, it's just like, how high am I of a priority?
Yeah.
Because like I would say I probably know every single one of your fears. Every single one of your fears, the things that you fucking
that
hate
is
when they
threatening.
It sounds threatening. But here's the deal.
I know what you're afraid of.
But here's the deal. It's like I'm aware of those things, therefore I don't like hit those subjects.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I know like one of Taylor's. I won't even say it right now. Just saying that I know makes you think about it and you're like,
they popped into my head.
And I hate But I hate when people feel like that. So it's like, I feel like understanding boundaries and even just like almost like trying to preempt them, you know, and just be like, what might make you discomfortable or what might make you uncomfortable? And how can I avoid that? How can I kind of like take a step ahead of that?
Yeah.
I'm like itchy now.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm itchy too because I have half a nail in my shirt.
I have
half an eyebrow. She has half a nail. I have a podcast.
I have a whole centipede in my head right now. This is fucking Zane.
That's what Taylor's fear is. I didn't say it though because I care.
Thanks.
I'm going to go around and make each of you think of your thing without saying it.
Yeah, you just inception to fucking centipede in my head.
That sounds awesome. Awful. I hate all those words. But yeah, boundaries.
See, they're scary. I told you. They're really not cool. Nothing needs that many legs.
No, you just too many legs.
Yeah, you think of
too
the
many.
Thing like the Willy Wonka.
Wait, what are we
fucking
talking
tunnel?
About? Centipedes? Oh, right. Yeah, is that your fear?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anything with more than four legs is like a very intense fear.
Yeah. So insects, because they got six, right?
Yeah, insects and arachnids, and yeah, sure, just like saying that made me like wiggle a little bit.
You guys know more about bugs than I do.
Oh my God, why are we talking about boundaries? Anyways.
Yeah. Now we're unpacking it.
But no, I think like almost trying to preempt them, like you know. But I think also just establishing them is really important.
Something that's hard for me is because I was raised in a very boundaryless home, and I feel
no walls.
I feel like, yeah, I slept outside.
Where does the property start and end?
The property line was questionable. No, but I feel like sometimes what's hard for me is like obviously we can learn people's boundaries and we can learn to adjust to them. But obviously, like if you were born, if you were given, like if your early introduction to boundaries was much different than someone else's, sometimes that can just be really challenging. And I think like I've had this experience before where like, because I'm just like a really open person. And I think it's also partially because of being neurodivergent, but also just from being raised by people that like didn't not say what they were thinking.
Sure.
I can make other people like really uncomfortable. People that are very curated and people that are very, I don't want to be judgy, but repressed, and probably just that's the way they learned to cope, or that's the way they were socialized, you know. I can feel like really like I'll just be open and honest about something that's hard, and then they'll be like kind of treat me like, oh my god, you're a fucking hot mess, you know. And it's like, I thought you were a safe person for me to be authentic with, and I had a bad day and I kind of like lost it or whatever, and then you're like, you're a terrible person, you know. So I think for me, it's like when you have really fundamentally different boundaries than somebody, sometimes it can be like maybe we're just not fucking compatible, you know what I mean? But it sucks because it can feel really bad to be like, I have no intention of trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm just being, you know, and then it's like just me being myself makes this person uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And well, I think that sucks.
Like, well, and I think that's when you kind of have to set a boundary for yourself, you know, and be like, how do I take care of myself? Because if this person's going to constantly make me feel bad for being me, then like, how often am I going to like introduce that into my life?
I think once I started doing comedy, I felt like that a lot less. Like, I feel like going through the normie world, I was like, it happened all the time. But like now that I'm friends with people who overshare for fun and for like a living, I feel so much more seen. Like, you gotta find your people.
Like, I think it's interesting that we both kind of ended up in a similar place of like being very transparent, almost like, not, I don't want to say like problematically transparent, but just like it freaks people out being very transparent sometimes. Yeah. But I started on the exact opposite end of the spectrum. I was raised in a very, very strict household. I was raised in like, they weren't super religious, but a lot of the rules were like around
the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, just shit
I
like
guess
that.
I can't kill now.
Yeah. Damn it. Real that ruins my day.
Only arachnids and insects.
Yeah. Fucking but they're like, and in me like growing up in that, I fucking hated it. And so I would like overcorrect the other direction. And I was like, I'm just gonna be like chaotic as shit. I'm gonna be nuts. And that was a lot of my like teen years. And so me honing that in and finding a spot that I'm comfortable with, I feel like I landed in like a very similar spot, like spot as you. But it's interesting to see that like you did the opposite direction. We both like overshot and then came back and landed in a similar area.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of, I don't know, just like the human experience is overshooting and then fucking overcorrecting and then fucking hopefully finding somewhere in between. You know, like it takes being like, I don't know. Like, I've done a lot of growth over the years, you know, like before I met you, I was not a great person. I was a good person. But like, I said things that were like dumb fucking dude jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
I set you straight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Set me by.
Such a curvy.
So dumb. But I don't know. I think like there's growth that can happen. I totally fucking forgot what I was saying.
You're the queen they aspire to be.
They aspire to you. Goddamn right. We're fine. We're falling apart. No.
But a bad job.
I don't know. I think that there's, somebody fucking help me. What is the topic?
You were
boundaries.
Fucking boundaries. There we go. You set boundaries where you're just like, please hang in. You set boundaries where you're just like, hey, that's not fucking super cool. Once I understood that boundary, I was able to like look at it and fucking be like, okay, now I can see why this is a fucking problem. Like the amount of people who don't realize the problems that they're creating because they're perpetuating them, you know, like there's so much, like if only a few people have set this boundary with you, but like the entire world has been like, well, I mean, you can make these dumb jokes, you know, I'm a wife, you know, shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like, we kind of have to fucking, in order to create a world that I think that we want to, we have to like start with individual boundaries that, you know, start building outwards.
Well, and like on top of that, if the only people that you've ever had set boundaries with you like strongly disagree with, like, I'm not a huge fan of the way that my family operates, but they were very firm with their boundaries very, very often. Mm-hmm. And so, but me having that disconnect of like, this is the only experience that I have with boundaries are the people that I strongly disagree with. It made it really difficult for me to understand my own boundaries and other people's boundaries a lot growing up. That was the only connection that I had, is people that I disagree with set boundaries. So people that I agree with might do the opposite. And like, it took me a long time to like understand that like those were just their boundaries and what they look like, and people that I do respect.
Yeah. Well, and like you were saying earlier, everybody has different boundaries, you know? Like, I don't think it's good to assume anybody's boundaries. I think almost even establishing, like, we've been doing this thing at work when we've been, like, hiring somebody. Somebody asked this really good fucking question where they're just kind of like, hey, if we were to have a problem, how would you want me to approach you? And I think that that should be fucking, like, that's like the second day that we hang out should be that fucking
that's
question.
A great question.
Yeah. Because it's like, I think we assume that, like, well, I would like to be talked to directly, so I'll just be direct. And then you kind of like create these fragments because you don't really know, like, because you came at something not knowing which one was their boundary.
Oh, yeah. I was a produce manager for a while, way too young, but they just really needed somebody. And my assistant was like in her 40s and I was in my 20s. So, like, I would just be direct on what needs to get done because that's what I would want a manager to be like, here's a list of stuff to do from most important to least important. Do the first ones. You got time for the other ones? Great. And that's what I would do for this person, but she did not respond well to that. Like, she would kind of make her own list of what she thought was important. And we got in so many arguments about, like, I know you feel strongly about the potatoes, but it doesn't matter. We're out of apples, okay? There's a lot of apples. And it took, like, she put in her 2 weeks, and in those last 2 weeks, because maybe it was because, like, that kind of authority part of it was sort of loose. Like, I was like, whatever, I'm not really your boss anymore.
Yeah.
I would just be, like, playful with her, and she really liked that and responded well, and we got along super great.
Yeah.
And then she was gone, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
If I only would have tried that, or if I wasn't so stuck in my way of, like, why doesn't she, like, respond the way that I would to the way that I'm, you know,
that I would like to have this handled.
I was like, well, everyone's different. And that was a huge life lesson. I wish it didn't take me as long as it did, but I'm glad that we were able to, like, figure that out and have a good last couple weeks working together and, like, just really fix our relationship before she left, because I would have felt horrible if, like, my only interaction was talking shit behind her back and to her face. Sorry, I was in my 20s. They shouldn't have been a manager.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I thought you were great. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, just establishing those. Another thing that I had heard from a book I was listening to was, it was almost like they call it, like, the sister check-in, right?
Mm.
And it was basically, like, this thing that they kind of came up with where, like, if they hadn't seen each other in a while, like, before everybody got together for a family reunion, they'd be like, hey, so, like, what are the three things that, like, are going to give me context into your life currently, like right now. So it's just like, hey, I'm going through some really hard stuff, or I just got to promote, you know, it's like, give me, like, three things. So that way my interactions can almost be tailored to, like, understanding, like, what headspace you're in. And it's like, I think that that's such a good idea, because it's like, oftentimes we walk into a room assuming that, like, you know, you had at least a similar day to mine, but, like, I really don't know. And I think those early check-ins are the thing that allow people to, just be more considerate.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's really important that you said, like, you don't know what their experience looks like. I think a lot of people begin to trust their own perception around body language a lot. We're like, if they look sad, they're sad. If they look content, they're content.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've talked to people that I thought were content. They're just like, yeah, my mom just died. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I literally never would have guessed.
Yeah.
And, like, the almost blind trust that we have on our perception is like it can be damaging to relationships very often. I really like that, like the sister check, and I think that's really cool.
Well, I think it's just assumptions. I think assumptions kind of just fuck you when it comes to boundaries. It fucks you with like just about everything, because it's like, until you have that information, like, it fucks me with paranoia. Like, I'm just like, I'm assuming so much, and instead of just checking in, you know, and that's I feel like another good example is just like with my paranoia, like checking in with the right people. We said check in with the right people. Some people fucking be real dickheads. But, you know, checking in with the right people, like, there's, you know, like, I thought fucking Taylor was trying to poison me with weed and he was a cannibal, and I had to be like, hey, are you trying to eat me? And he's like, nah, dude. And then we were good. You know, this is not relatable.
You're all Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. Yeah. Well, but no, like, but that's the thing, is just like, I feel like being direct, setting boundaries, and even like, because like the whole cannibal thing was like this, you know, I was in a huge fucking psychosis, so it really became this thing, like, I had to like set different boundaries, you know, in that situation. I think boundaries can fucking change. It's hey, like, these are the things that I don't feel comfortable with, these are now the things I don't feel comfortable with. So I had to be like, hey, can you not say the word cannibal, because I feel like it's you conspiring, you know? And it's like, it's super, it was, I'm sure it was like very weird and uncomfortable, but it's like, you adhering to those boundaries allowed me to be comfortable.
And like it was a strange experience for me, but I think the part that threw me off the most was like, it felt random on my end. And in your experience, it wasn't random. It was very specific. You were feeling these very specific things, and so these specific triggers needed to be like, I don't know, like, treated comfortably for you.
Yeah.
And so when you were giving me the specific things to like avoid saying or be like at least be very cautious about around you and consider it, it felt random, but I also like respected your experience enough to be like, okay, these are really important to Zane. So I'm not gonna be a dick about it or just be like, well, that's a weird thing, I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah. It's important not to make fun of people's boundaries either. Yeah. Then they shut down. It doesn't matter what it is. Like I love to hug people, but if someone's like, I feel uncomfortable with hugs,
yes,
I used to be like, how? Why? But then it's like, bro, everyone has different sensory stuff.
Absolutely.
It's fine. That's why like asking for consent to like hug someone is important and not be like, well, you don't like hugs, loser. It's like, geez.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, honestly, I think fucking moral of the story, don't assume somebody's fucking boundaries, you know? Ask if you don't know and establish if you haven't said them yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Amanda, it's been such a treat having you back.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, thanks. Really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. That has been The Smoke Break. I've been your host, your old pal Zane. Here was Zoe Schwartz.
Hi.
Taylor Barrett.
Peace the fuck out.
And Amanda Lid Deal.
See you later.
Later, players.
That's all, folks.